From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament as he brings the final portion of an overview of the Epistle of James. We've seen that James builds on a solid doctrinal basis, presenting a well-developed revelation of God, of Christ, of the Holy Scriptures, and of salvation. The epistle reveals that James was concerned about the place of the church in the world, particularly regarding the opposition believers faced from the ungodly. In addition, he was much burdened about the influence of the world upon the church, warning the Christians of the dangers of worldliness and its many manifestations. The theme of the epistle may be stated in simple terms. Godly practice is the identifying mark of godly people. First of all, believers are justified by faith that manifests itself by good works. Then, Christians are sanctified by faith that works. This kind of faith governs every area in the believer's life, from their attitudes toward the world, toward prayer, toward their speech, and toward their witness. Finally, believers will be glorified only by a faith that shows itself by good works. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message entitled, James, Faith That Works. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Shine As Many Stars. The text is Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Here is something to wake me up. This is worth living for. To be wise is a noble thing in itself. In this place, it refers to a divine wisdom which only the Lord Himself can bestow. Oh, to know myself, my God, my Savior! May I be so divinely taught that I may carry into practice heavenly truth and live in the light of it. Is my life a wise one? Am I seeking that which I ought to seek? Am I living as I shall wish I had lived when I come to die? Only such wisdom can secure for me eternal brightness as of yonder sunlit skies. To be a winner of souls is a glorious attainment. I have need be wise if I am to turn even one to righteousness, much more if I am to turn many. Oh, for the knowledge of God, of men, of the Word, and of Christ, which will enable me to convert my fellow men, and to convert large numbers of them. I would give myself to this, and never rest till I accomplish it. This will be better than winning stars at court. This will make me a star, a shining star, a star shining forever and ever. Yea, more, it will make me shine as many stars. My soul, arouse thyself. Lord, quicken me.
Shine, you children of light, piercing the darkness, piercing thy heart. Oh, glory,
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. As for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final, by Alan Cairns.
My friend, I want to tell you, let not any man say when he's tempted to sin that he's tempted by God. God is incapable of being tempted to sin, and God is incapable of tempting anybody else to sin. That's what James says. He says, when you're tempted to sin, don't rationalize. Don't rationalize. Don't say, God allowed me to put it. God put this desire in my heart. This is a natural thing. My friend, you've got to recognize when you're tempted to sin, you're led astray by your own lust. And your own lust, James describes as a mother that will give birth to death. That's the truth. Now, how do you deal with the pressure from lust? Because when you're saved, you're not free from strong desire. You're not free from the motions of the flesh. How do you deal with the pressure from the outside and from the inside? By faith that works. And by acting in every situation according to what you believe. Ah, my friend, that simplifies the pattern of Christian behavior wonderfully. What should I do in this situation? What does my belief say I ought to do? That's what I ought to do then. That's what I should do. That's what I will do. By the grace of God. It enables you also, chapter 2, not to be intimidated by the people of the world. Why do we fawn on rich people? Why do we fawn on powerful people? Why do we fawn on titled people? Because we're intimidated by them. I have a friend back in Ballymoney, who's getting very old now, and near the grave. She had a business in second-hand furniture, antiques, you name it. She had it. She was a character. We had one of the local aristocracy. He was a member of the Northern Ireland Cabinet. He could trace his family back for umpteen generations, and they were the curse of Ireland for hundreds of years, and still are. But that's another story. In he came, and man, he spoke. Well, he was public school ed. Now, public schools, of course, in England are the very opposite of the public schools here. They are the most private schools in the world. And he had public school education. He was everything in the world. The only thing was, the character had no money. And he was very, very bad pay. He would take everything and never pay for it. He also had only, he was a working farmer as well, worked for the pigs a lot, and he had only a nodding acquaintance with soap and water. So he was not the nicest character to come into your shop. But man, when Phelan came into a shop, I have known of shopkeepers who had to spray the place after he went out, but they fawned upon him when he came in. He came in to my friend's little place this day, and he said, I'll take this, and I'll take that, and I'll take that, and she just came, put her hand and says, you leave them there until you pay for them. Well, of course, Phelan O'Neill had never been dealt with like that before. He didn't deal with an aristocrat that way. You don't know who he is, what he is, his reputation, the whole thing. She did. But you see, that woman knew somebody far greater than Phelan O'Neill. And as she lived her life by faith in Christ, it enabled her never to be intimidated by the big wigs of this world. Then faith in Christ enables us to eschew the practices of the world. That's what chapter 4 is all about. So faith governs your attitude to the world. Chapter 2 governs your attitude to worship. Does not permit that I look into that. It will destroy partiality in the church. It will also, chapter 5, 13 to the end, it will lead to prayer in the church. That's faith at work. Faith will govern your attitude to the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you rapid fire a few little statements that I think will sum up, if you look at the whole book of James, the attitude of faith to the Word of God. The will of God is set forth in the Word of God. The Word of God is not merely a proposition to be believed, it is a law to be obeyed. This law is a royal law of liberty. This liberty is not license to sin, it is freedom to be holy. This holiness is the hallmark of true Christianity. And thus we come full circle. True Christianity is expressed by a life in accordance with the Word of God. That's the attitude of a working faith to the Word of God. And if you have that kind of attitude to the Word of God, that same faith will govern your attitude to your own words. Chapter 3, chapter 4, 11, chapter 5, verses 9 and 12. Notice the emphasis on the Christian's words. You see, here's a very simple truth. Christians think, if I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, I don't run to the bar, I don't run with somebody else's wife, I don't do this, I don't do that, oh, I must be a very holy fellow. But they can let loose salvos of the most destructive criticism. They can use their tongue like a weapon. I have seen men destroyed by 30 seconds of a man's tongue. When I say that, my mind goes back to a man who spoke. What he said was not wrong in itself, but it certainly wasn't right in itself, because he didn't know the full circumstances. He spoke without thinking. He spoke far too strongly. He spoke vitriolically. I saw a man who ought to have known better, but he was cut down. A man who had been greatly useful to God and to the church of God. And for 25 years, he was so discouraged and wiped out. Oh, he sought to live his own life for God, but his usefulness and the work of God was finished. Ruined by the barbs of an ill-advised tongue. Now listen, a faith that works like this. What I truly believe must be evident in what I say and how I say it. Now, we're not perfect in this either. We're not perfect in anything we do. But nonetheless, that is the prevailing standard of the child of God. What I believe should be seen in what I say and how I say it. It also governs our walk. That's the whole of chapter 4 and the first half of chapter 5. How I walk. How do you walk? Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. James is preaching the very same thing. Anything else is worldliness. Anything else is spiritual adultery. Because it's idolatry. You're putting something above your God. If you're walking with the devil, then you're not believing in God. Simple. But that's the truth here. Faith that works governs our walk. And the very final verses, very last words of the whole book, it governs our witness. You see, if you have a faith that works, you can't sit back and let the lost perish. You can't sit back and see someone. There's an argument among expositors, is this a fallen church member? Or I believe you can take the words as widely as you wish. A man who is erring, a sinner who's in the error of his way, should be converted. Who's going to turn him? A man who has such a faith in Christ that faith works. We are only justified by a faith that works. We are sanctified only by a faith that works. And that leads me to the final, very brief remark. We will be glorified only by a faith that works. Chapter 5, verse 9. Grudge not, lest ye be condemned. Chapter 12, or 5, verse 12. Swear not, lest ye fall into condemnation. Lest condemnation be upon you. Twice, then, he's talking about condemnation. Clearly, as he brings this little epistle to a close, he's been dealing with people who say they're saved, but they act in a way that would say the very opposite. He's been dealing with people who have great profession, but very little performance. He has been expounding to them the reality that justifying faith is a working faith and it will work holiness in their lives. Now, as he comes to the end of the epistle, the apostle is thinking about eternity and the final judgment is weighing very heavily on his mind. He realizes people who say they're saved, but their faith produces nothing. They're going to be condemned on the day of judgment. He realizes people who have great professions, but they have no living experience of Christ that makes them holy in their lives from day to day. They're going to be condemned in the day of judgment. Therefore, he introduces this thought, lest ye be condemned. Be careful that you have a faith that works. Because only by a faith that works will you be kept out of hell. Entrance into heaven is only through the door of a faith that works. We must never settle for anything less. Why? One very simple reason. God will. God won't. Others may. We are not going to be judged by how we relate to the standard of prevailing morality. We're not going to be judged by how we appear in comparison to the rest of this world's sinners. There is one lawgiver, and by the standard of his law, we shall be judged. God will accept nothing but a faith that works, a faith that is a true and living faith in a true and living Savior. Let us make sure today that we know Him. We know Him as our Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.